Our present meditation is on the Sacred Heart is the Holy Eucharist. On the first Friday of the new year, ipsum domini proper to speak on the Sacred Heart. We might remind ourselves that devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus goes back to the early church. Why? Because the doctrine of the Sacred Heart goes back to divine revelation. All true devotion in the Catholic Church is based on true doctrine. And doctrine, as we know, is what the Church teaches, doctrina, teaching, about divinely revealed truth. There are two passages in sacred scripture which are the revealed foundation for what we call devotion to the Sacred Heart. The first is Christ's invitation to his followers. Learn of me, for I am meek and humble of heart. The only explicit and direct imperative to learn from him was spoken by our Lord when he told us that we might learn of all the things that he revealed, the most elemental and fundamental is that we may learn from him that he is meek and humble of heart. The second revealed foundation for the Church's doctrine, which then has become the Church's devotion to the Sacred Heart, is Christ's Sacred Heart being pierced on the cross. Pierced by the soldier's lance, which the Church has always interpreted as the piercing of his Sacred Heart. It is no wonder, then, that in varying language and in different ways, from the very beginning, the followers of Christ were devoted to the heart of Christ. Our focus for this meditation will be then on the Sacred Heart of Jesus is the Holy Eucharist. And by now, the well-known triad, the what, the why, and the how. What do we mean by our equation, the Sacred Heart is the Holy Eucharist? Why do we make this equation? And then most importantly, how are we to put this revealed equation into practice in our own lives? What then do we mean when we say the Sacred Heart is the Holy Eucharist? We begin by recalling the now centuries of teaching by the Church on what the term Sacred Heart expresses. the Sacred Heart expresses, signifies, or if you wish, symbolizes the love of God. And in three ways, the Sacred Heart symbolizes the love that is God. God from all eternity not only loved, or is loving, God from all eternity was, or shall we use a present, eternal word. From all eternity, God is love. That is the primary meaning behind God being not a single person, but being a divine community. When then we say the Sacred Heart, in whatever verb you wish to use, expresses, symbolizes divine love, the first meaning is that God is love. The essence of love, the essence of love is to give. And within the Trinity, each of the three divine persons from all eternity, to use our very poor human language, gave, again, strange words, shared totally the divine nature which each one possesses. When then we say that God is love, we're not just using a pious moniker. We are defining God as that community of three divine persons who from all eternity, each sharing with the other the fullness of not only what each one has, but what each one is. Secondly, as the Church tells us, the expression Sacred Heart signifies not only God who is love, but God who is loving. And that is why, for God not only, as we say in Latin, to be amor, love, but amans, loving, he had to create. Don't misunderstand me. God did not have to create. But when he chose, in his sovereign freedom, to create, then it was only because he is loving. They wanted to, mysteriously, without parting of anything of himself, to share what he as God had from all eternity with beings who, except for his love, would not even exist. How then is the Sacred Heart the symbol of divine love, not only as God who is love, but as God who is loving? from the moment of creation, and as faith tells us, into the endless reaches of eternity. God better continue loving, because the moment he would cease to be loving, my friends, we would cease to be existing. Thanks, Lord, thanks for loving us. But we know that this God who not only loves, but is loving, manifested his love not only in bringing us into existence and making us what we are. We could have been, well, insects or animals or trees or the lofty mountains. Thanks, Lord. Sure, the mountains are bigger than we. So what? But the mountains cannot think, and most importantly, mountains cannot love. God, then, is loving, not only in bringing us into being, but bringing us into being as creatures who are capable of love and the highest reaches of love is the capacity we have for loving God. In order to do that, now we could begin to open not just a book, but all the libraries of Catholic literature to reveal the ways in which God has been and continues loving us. But he's still on the second way in which the Sacred Heart symbolizes God not only as a love, but as loving. God, the loving God, to manifest his love, became one of us. Semicolon. And having become one of us, has remained and will be for all eternity one of us. When the Word became flesh, it became flesh not only for time, it became flesh for all eternity. God will remain incarnate forever. Semicolon. And this loving God, who out of love for us, became man, so he might die on the cross to show his love for us, and have his heart pierced to show how deeply he loves us. This God, out of love for us, not only became man and remains a man, but this God who became man out of love for us and remains a man is on earth. Now we're down to terra firma. Now we're back on earth. No wonder. Don't let anybody dare tell you that you are using hyperbole or exaggerating when you say the Sacred Heart is the Holy Eucharist. No. Because this infinite love who is God and out of love for us became man is here, right here. And when we receive him, right in here, love wants to be intimate. Love wants to be near. Love wants to be close to the one that it loves. Talk about the divine genius. Well, that's our faith. But, and we're still on the what? The Sacred Heart symbolizes God's love as God himself for all eternity, as the Trinity, symbolizes God loving in becoming man, dying on the cross, and then giving us himself incarnate and remaining with us, and when we receive him within us in the Holy Eucharist. But thirdly, and this is the teaching of the Church most clearly and extensively expressed, read it, get a copy if you don't have it, of Pope Pius XII's encyclical on the Sacred Heart, Haureatis Aquas. Meaning, you shall draw water. Meaning, of course, God's grace. The third meaning, which the Church gives to the Sacred Heart as symbolizing God's love, that God loves not only as God, not only even as the God-man, but as the God-man, hear it, with human feeling, with human emotion, with human sensibility, or shall I add, with human sensitivity. How we need to know this, and believing in the faith, as we've been saying, is not only accepting the truth that God revealed. Believing means also knowing, grasping, understanding. In the Holy Eucharist, therefore, it is God himself who is love, loving us by being with us, and to repeat, when we receive him within us, but hear it, we need it. We creatures of feeling, of emotion, of sensitivity. God in the Holy Eucharist is man indeed, but with all the, what shall I say, superb or supreme sensitivity. Christ in the Blessed Sacrament is a sensitive Christ. He feels. And therefore, it is no exaggeration, as the mystics tell us, especially in this context, St. Margaret Mary, that Christ in the Holy Eucharist feels, he senses, in a way that we can understand. We, shall I say, hypersensitive human beings. Wives, tell me, I spent hours cooking the meal, and all that Jim, that's the husband, did, sat down, And everything I give him, even asked for more, but never once thanked me. Or among religious women. Father, you have no idea how it hurts me to know that when we pass in the corridor, she doesn't even look at me. There are a thousand things she may have on mind except me. How sensitive we are. How we need to know, and this is our faith, that God became a sensitive, dare we say it, human being. And the word human being we don't ordinarily use in speaking of Christ, but we may. And our best authority is Thomas Aquinas. He's human. And when we come to him in the Blessed Sacrament, honest, he wants us to tell him how he feels. And he'll tell us how he feels. That's part one. Part two. Why make the equation? The Sacred Heart is the Holy Eucharist. Why? Because the Sacred Heart, symbolizing, then we repeat, God who is love, God who is loving, and God who is loving with deep human sensitivity. He is on earth. And consequently, it is impossible, and I use the word advisedly, it is impossible to too closely or too completely identify the Holy Eucharist with Jesus Christ. He's just here and not here, needless to say just with his substance, which we cannot see anyhow. All we can see of any, physical thing is the sensible properties. And even with spiritual beings like our souls, all that we can see of another soul, pardon me, all that we can see of our own soul is his manifestations. Strange language, its properties. Unless we have thoughts and made decisions, we wouldn't even know we had a soul. For the best of reasons, we couldn't even know that we know. So we don't see the substance of anything. But Christ in the Holy Eucharist is not here merely, what an important adverb, not merely with his substance. We don't ever really talk about the substance of his divinity for the best of reasons. Substance means that which substat stands under those changing qualities which, the substance has. But Christ in the Holy Eucharist is not there just with that which makes him God, with his nature. No. He is there with everything that makes him man. But only a substance? No. I don't know how many students of mine over the years I've corrected. And sometimes with strong language. When I ask them, what do you mean by transubstantiation? And they would tell me, in all examinations, transubstantiation means that the substance of bread and wine become the substance of Jesus Christ. Period. I'd ask them, is that all? If they say that's all, well, I control my temper and then proceed to enlighten them. No, no. Transubstantiation means that the substance of bread and wine are no longer there. But then, shall we say, what replaces the substance of bread and wine is not only the substance of Christ's body and blood. What replaces the substance of bread and wine is Jesus Christ. Everything. Let me repeat and raise my voice. Everything that makes Christ Christ replaces what had been the substance of bread and wine. Let no one ever in your presence dare say and get away with it that transubstantiation means the substance of bread and wine become only the substance of Jesus Christ. No. It or they, the substance of bread and wine, become, as we've been saying, the totus, the whole Christ. And of course, we're on the why now. That means therefore, and what a therefore this is, therefore, Christ in the Holy Eucharist is here with his human heart. Is it a living heart? You better believe it. And that is why, as you know, historically, the revelations that our Lord made to St. Margaret Mary about promoting devotion to the Sacred Heart were all made, remember? Well, shall we say, from the Holy Eucharist. Christ was there, either exposed or reserved in the Blessed Sacrament. And then when he gave the revelations. Now believe me, being trained the way I have been, you're almost trained to be theological skeptics. But since our Lord told Margaret Mary that he wants the sons of St. Ignatius, members of the Society of Jesus, to promote the understanding, that's the language, the understanding of his Sacred Heart to the world. I can assure you, though naturally, I'm trained to be a skeptic about everything accept the truth. But I want to make sure it's the truth. You're asking why? Why equate the Sacred Heart with the Holy Eucharist? Because the Holy Eucharist is the whole Christ with his human heart. And over the years, beginning with Saint Margaret Mary's confessor, he said, in fact, the title of this conference is a quotation from Saint Margaret Mary's confessor. The Sacred Heart is the Holy Eucharist. So the devotion to the Sacred Heart is devotion to the Holy Eucharist. It is love, infinite love incarnate. It is infinite love become incarnate and living in our midst. It is that love of God. And now, of course, remember, don't forget how many people I've quizzed on this. I'd ask them, with a smile on my face, how many wills does Christ have? They better say two. Otherwise, I tell them, you heretic. There's a famous heresy called monothelitism, which claims that Christ had only one will, a divine will. No! If he didn't have a human will, there wouldn't be any redemption. He is here then with a human will. But then I come back to what we said before. And a human will that has feelings and emotions. That's why he's here. Now the third part of our reflections. How? The answer is almost too obvious to express. But believe me, it is the most difficult task we have in life. How are we to practice the devotion to the Sacred Heart, which we've already told ourselves is devotion to the Holy Eucharist. We are to love him the way he not only has been or had, past tense, but the way he is loving us now. How has God, who became man out of love for us, how has he been loving us? First past tense. By all that we know and we've been saying, bringing us out of nothing into existence, making us human beings with a mind to think and a will that can choose. How had he loved us? By becoming man and dying out of love for us. There are two words that go together as divinely revealed, I would almost say synonyms, and they are love and death. Love wants to, no matter what verb I use, I will not be exaggerating. Love wants to exhaust itself out of the one whom it claims to love. And that is why God took on our human nature, so we could manifest in the strongest language accessible to human beings how deeply God loves us. God, in the person of Christ, died out of love. And we know, how well we know, that if we love, we will die for the one whom we love. And the death of the body is itself only a symbol of the constant death of the human spirit. Hell then is no longer past tense, but present tense. How is God loving us in the Holy Eucharist? By totally giving us himself. Say, after consecrating the host, I put the host on the baton. I genuflect. And I say, well, see thee, the cross on the host is not quite straight. So I move the host, say, a quarter of an inch. That is love allowing itself to be moved. I'm speaking from my heart. God is constantly, what verb shall we use without seeming to be offensive? He is pushing. He is shoving. He is shifting. He is changing. He wants to move our wills. And we remain statuesque. They're asking how. How are we to return this love that Christ had and now has for us, which is really devotion to the Sacred Heart? By totally and constantly, and that is no cheap adverb, conforming, we keep saying, submitting, surrendering. That is the, capital T, capital H, capital E. This is the sacrifice that God wants of us during life. The allowing of him to move our wills. Now notice, he's given us a free will. Unless we had a free will, we couldn't love. He shows us. You cannot count the ways. 1,000 ways, too small. 1,000 times 1,000 ways. Even that, in a lifetime, is too small. And the ways in which God invites us, never coerces, our returning our love for his selfless love of us. By then, and we keep repeating then the words, conforming, surrendering, sacrificing, not just giving our wills, but giving up our wills. What do you mean giving up? I mean giving up. Oh, how well I know we can give up with our hands. Might even smile in doing it. But down deep inside, we are still holding on to see in everything that we mistakenly, I might almost say blasphemously say, happens in our lives. Nothing. Nothing ever happens in our lives. Nothing. Everything is a providential expression of God's love for us, inviting us to respond, and no matter what cost to ourselves. Lord Jesus, we believe you are our God, infinite love who became man. We believe you are God's love incarnate. Not only became man, but are in the fullness of your humanity, with all that makes you you, including the deepest sensitivity of your human heart, you are here in the Holy Eucharist. Dear Jesus, even as the Church tells us, devotion to your Sacred Heart is devotion to you in the Holy Eucharist. But, dear Savior, it is not only that we are to return your love for us by surrendering ourselves with our whole heart to you. We know how, pathetically well we know, we cannot do this without your loving grace poured into our selfish hearts from your selfless heart in the Holy Eucharist. Jesus, divine love, loving us in the Blessed Sacrament, give us the grace to love you heartfully, so that giving you our hearts here on earth, by faith, you may give us your heart to possess it and embrace it for all eternity. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.